All right. So, do you want to introduce the sidekick showdown?
I think you just did.
All right. Well, that was easy.
I guess we're doing another continuity battle.
Yeah.
Cap's sidekicks versus Batman's sidekicks. I think Batman's would win. They really outnumber him, and Damian kills people.
Though only two of Batman's... Well, I guess Cap really only has one sidekick that counts.
You decide what counts, David.
Yeah, I guess Falcon would count.
Go ahead and go first.
Ah, I see how it is. So, Bucky is... How old is Bucky now? He's almost as old as Robin, I want to say. And soon Wikipedia will tell me. But back in the 40s, him and Cap were fighting Nazis before, like, we were actually supposed to be fighting Nazis. Because Captain America, whatever, came out before Pearl Harbor. March 1941, Captain America Comics number one. And James Buchanan Barnes was an army brat who was an orphan. His dad died in the service, and somehow he just got to stay on the military base. It was kind of like the, you know, they have, like, mascots, you know?
I feel like it's a baby in a basket situation, only it's a baby in a helmet.
Yeah. And so he would stick around, and, you know, he'd run laps with everyone else, and he's, like, 16. He's super young. Maybe a little bit younger than that when he meets Steve Rogers. So Steve Rogers becomes Captain America because of super steroids, and for some reason they decide he needs a sidekick.
Steroids are good.
Yeah, that's the lesson.
In the comics, it was... They needed some sort of symbol in America to counteract the symbol of the
Red
Hitler
Skull
youth.
And yeah. Oh, that's one of the reasons why they got Bucky. Was to show, like, you know, a good old American kid fighting Nazis.
Yeah.
But pretty much he had no powers, and for the longest time he was just like your generic kid sidekick. There to, like, crack jokes and be the funny guy.
Good going, Cap.
Yeah. And he had his own small team of similarly unpowered normal kids. I think they were called the Young Allies. And there was, you know, like, the smart one, the fat one. There was the black one because, you know, like, it's the 40s, you had to have one. And, I mean, they're kind of interesting as an idea, not so much an execution.
You know, it's kind of funny that that's pretty much the same now.
Yeah. All they were missing back then was, like, you know, a plucky girl with a slingshot.
Two girls and one black guy is kind of the standard now. This time it's just...
We've gotten more enlightened as time's gone on. But he went from... pretty much he died at the end of World War II. He'd grown up a little bit, and he died in the same thing that ended up freezing Captain America and saving his life and bringing him back in the 60s. Until Ed Brubaker's run, which was 2005, I want to say, is when that started. Yeah, January 2005. Where basically it's revealed that Bucky didn't die after all. He was actually frozen, and the Russians got him and turned him into an assassin for their side. And this actually worked because Brubaker looked back and said, okay, he's an idiot kid sidekick. Those are pretty much worthless. Why would they send this kid into the field with Cap? And it was because the army was using him to do all the things that Captain America couldn't do. Because, like, Cap is, like, beacon of light and freedom and, you know, apple pie. So Bucky was the one who would creep behind enemy lines and, you know, like, slit the guards' throats before they come in. And, like...
So, in other words, he was doing the really, really dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
For the super-powered steroid guy.
Pretty much, yeah. So Cap and Bucky are in the newsreels doing, you know, like, brush your teeth, kids, you know, buy war bonds. And then the next day, they're behind enemy lines, and Bucky's got, you know, like, 8 scalps or something. He didn't actually take scalps, so that's me exaggerating, but that's
that
how I feel it probably went
you
down.
Having, what, rewatched Inglourious Basterds?
Not yet, but soon.
It's on your mind, I can see
that.
Yeah,
it's actually sitting right here. But, he was the one, like, he couldn't do all the super soldier stuff, but he was very well trained as kind of a special forces, wet works type of guy. And so when the Russians got him, they were like, holy crap, we've got Bucky, you know? So they turned him into the Winter Soldier, was his name.
You have to be like, holy crap, we have Bucky. I'm pretty sure that's, like, no Russian
Moose and Squirrel. And what they would do is, he had amnesia because, you know, comic books. Amnesia just goes around like the plague.
Otherwise, he'd be like, hey, wasn't I fighting for the Americans?
And they would send him out into the field, and he would commit. He would do an assassination. Then when he came back, they would refreeze him. So over, like, the 60 or 70 years of actual Marvel time, he's only been awake for maybe 10 of that. So he's barely aged. He's still in his, you know, like, 20s or mm-hmm. comic book 20s.
Yeah.
And
which lasts forever.
Yeah. he struck up... Black Widow, the... I guess the main Russian spy of note in Marvel Comics, who is mm-hmm. also... what is her real name? She's part... What was the family in Russia?
Romanov.
Yes. She's the last of the Romanovs. And a leather-wearing super spy who knows Wolverine. But she grew up as a Russian spy. And so they met each other once or twice, and they kind of had a relationship when he was still the Winter Soldier and didn't know who he was. But, you know, he got frozen. Things happened. Time moved on. And he starts slowly breaking out of the, what is it, brainwashing? So he's like, they sent him on a mission in the States. And I want to say it was like something in Texas, maybe Kennedy, but probably not. And instead of going back to base, he ends up just kind of like wandering around the country, seeing things and just being in a daze. And then the Russians get him. They're like, okay, we're losing control. So every time we get him back from now on, we wipe his brain and re-brainwash him just to make sure he doesn't go AWOL again. But eventually, the Red Skull saw the body, and he was like, holy crap, can I buy this from you? Because a Russian guy, after the fall of the Soviet Union, was selling off all his stuff. And the guy's like, no, I'm keeping that for a while. And he became this guy's bodyguard. Things happened in Captain America. There was cosmic cubes and assassinations. And long story short, Captain America dies, and Bucky becomes the new Captain America. And he also remembers everything he did over the course of, like, the past 70 years. So he feels super guilty all the time. So there's a lot of looking in windows and kind of looking kind of forlorn. Mm-hmm. And, like, the reflections looking back at him, and it's, like, his younger self. And he's like, ah, those were the days.
That back when I was slitting Nazi throats. Yeah.
Back good when the times. War was fun.
Good times.
And he kind of inherited... they call him Cap's partner now, but for a long time he was basically Captain America's sidekick, which is mm-hmm. Sam Wilson, the Falcon, whose power is that he can talk to birds and he can fly, and he has a bird named Redwing, which is, like, I guess his partner. They can talk to each other, and it's really kind of like this weird pet who they talk telepathically. But he's, despite, like, having the lamest power and the lamest costume, he's actually kind of a cool character. Because since he was Captain America's partner for so long, like, he knows all of his tricks, he knows what Steve Rogers, like, how he thought, and he kind of grew up into, like, this really solid hero. So he's been kind of showing Bucky the ropes and making sure that, like, you know, he doesn't sneak behind enemy lines and, you know, like, cut a supervillain's throat or something. Because that would look kind of bad on TV.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. And now, pretty much, he's Captain America for the foreseeable future. Steve Rogers is back, and instead of being Captain America, he's pretty much like the... They keep calling him the top cop of the United States, which sounds really stupid.
That does sound stupid. But that sounds way more stupid than Falcon with his pet bird.
And all he is now is just the new Nick Fury, where he goes around telling people what to do. And, like, well, whatever, okay, why not?
Oh, yeah, I saw a bit of that on Scans Daily, where, what's her name, with the blue streak in her hair, purple streak, Victoria Hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Veronica Hand?
Victoria.
Victoria Hand has just finished fighting, like, hell for the Green Goblin
yeah.
to take down Valhalla?
Asgard.
And... loses, and then is like, I want a lawyer, and then he comes in and is like, you know, I disagree with everything about you, but you're a patriot, and so I want to keep you on my team. And
yeah.
everyone's like,
and huh? she's like, what was her rationale? She knew how bad Norman was, but she was trying to keep a lid on everything. And you see how well that worked out.
Yeah.
Like, he starts a war on U.S. soil. Way to go with keeping a lid on things. But, yeah, now Bucky... I really think that Bucky's going to be...
And he ran a team of murderous supervillains for a long time, didn't he?
Several.
Yeah. All right, well...
Somehow that was keeping a lid on things.
Great work, Top Cop. You want her on your side.
I really, really think that Bucky's going to be Captain America, like, at least until the movie comes out, which is kind of interesting. Hmm. It's one of those things where you don't think that, like, this change will never stick. You know, this will last 6 months, and then this is 5 years later, and Bucky's still alive, and he's still Captain America. And, like, it's good, which is the most inexplicable part. But a funny parallel with Robin is that when Jason Todd was coming back in the Under the Hood story, that's when Bucky was coming back in Captain America. And they if there were two things that were like, this will never be reversed in comics, it was Jason Todd's death and the death of Bucky. And lo and behold,
I thought it was Barry Allen's death and the death of Bucky.
Barry Allen had an escape hatch because... So this is... I've never read Crisis, but I really like The Flash, so I know this. When he was running around the Earth, he was skipping through time. So theoretically, if you wanted to have a Barry Allen guest appearance, you could have one whenever you wanted. And just say it was in those brief seconds before he evaporated into bones. But yeah, within like 6 months, like, Jason Todd's back, Bucky's back, and holy crap, what's going on? But yeah, which leads nicely into your story of a sidekick done good.
So many sidekicks.
Yeah.
So many. All right. Everyone knows Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that he's already taken over for Batman once. I think, well, the first time around, it was, hey, there's this new hip mullet-wearing Batman. He still had the mullet. Because he would take it off, and he had the long hair.
Man.
It was party in the back.
It's the 90s.
And it was... I think... He was like, I can never be you, Bruce, but it's going to be wild taking over for you for a while. That was it.
Was that Chuck Dixon writing Nightwing around then?
I forget. I think that was before Chuck Dixon.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was before his solo series.
Okay.
So.
Goodness.
Chuck Dixon, the first thing Chuck Dixon did when he took over, or one of the first things, was cut his hair.
Bless that man.
Yes.
His faults. Like, that was a really good choice.
And how he did it was he just had him running around wearing a ponytail for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then a criminal was just like, and slashed at him, and it got the ponytail, and Dick was like, do you know how long I've been growing that? But from then on, he had short hair.
That's... Dixon did that to Punisher. Punisher had, like, a ponytail for a while, too. He went undercover in the mob.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
No All bullet, right. though. But continue.
So, yep, yeah, that's Dick Grayson. I mean, what more do you want to know? Everyone knows him.
Yeah, which is...
He's just the fun, cheery guy. And I guess the second time around is more him trying to be stern Batman because he thinks it's forever.
Yeah.
We, of course, know different. And also kind of a father figure to Damian.
Which I think is the most interesting part of, like, the current status quo of Batman. Is that, like, whoa, Batman's got a kid, and he's a douchebag.
Batman's trying to rein him in while still being encouraging. Yeah. That's fun. Second, Jason Todd. And everyone talks about how Jason Todd is, like, the dark...
Yeah.
Batman, or the dark, blah.
Robin.
The dark Robin, the violent Robin, the, like, crazy Robin that oversteps his boundaries. But the thing is, that only happened, I would say, the last 6 months of his run.
Hmm.
When they were hyping up to, or amping up to the Death in the Family storyline.
Yeah.
There was, when he first came on, he was stealing the tires from the Batmobile, yes.
Which is fantastic.
Yes, that's still great.
Yeah.
But Batman, like, follows him back to his squat, and it's like an Oliver Twist thing. He's just the scrappy orphan. And he's, like, a little bit, I'm a tough guy, but he is up to Batman's waist.
Yeah.
Batman literally just grabs him by one hand and lifts him off the floor. And laughs at
Batman
him.
Batman would do.
And... Yeah, that's it. And then he takes him in. There's once... it turns out that Two-Face killed his father. Jason is staying in one night to, I guess, research, do a little extra research, which is the kind of kid he turns into. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do extra credit.
A total nerd.
And just, yeah, pretty much like Dick Grayson was back in the day. Mm-hmm. But he sees that Two-Face killed his father and Batman doesn't tell him. And then they go out and they face Two-Face and he, like, goes overboard and tries to punch him and Two-Face gets away. And Batman brings him back to the cave and is like, what were you doing? And Jason says to him, I know that Two-Face killed my father. Did you think that I wouldn't find out? And this is the fun part.
Is Batman just like, yes?
No, Batman is like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't want you to find out that way. It totally makes sense for you to have reacted the way you did.
What?
I know! While I was reading that, I was just, oh my god, Batman is a somewhat understanding human being. Like, you, from all this run from the late 80s to now, the last 20 years, you just expect him to be like, you need to put your personal feelings aside.
And yeah.
Nothing should endanger the mission, you know. But he just, yeah. He just reacts like, yeah, I made a huge mistake and I'm really sorry. And that's it.
That's impressive.
Then Jason gets better. And from then on, they have adventures at the museum because Jason wanted to learn about ancient Egypt because he's doing a class project. And they have adventures at, like, the schoolyard. He's actually just a really, really good kid.
Yeah.
The entire time until they started being like, nobody likes this kid. He's basically Dick Grayson all over again, except none of the goodwill that people feel towards Dick Grayson.
Like none of the past 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that no one liked it. I mean, Dick Grayson was Robin, mm-hmm. and now it's this big change, and some other kid who happens to look exactly the same gets put in there. I don't think anyone would.
It's kind of like when Scrappy Doo came on the Scooby-Doo. It's like, did they really need the kid character?
Yeah. So, they did the Death in the Family. They did the call-in if you want a child to die in comics. Which, at this point, I would appreciate all over again. I would love an internet poll. Hey, do you want us to crush Lee and Harper to death under a building? No? Okay, then.
Those polls would be so rigged at this point. Like, the pro and con sides just battling so you can get a million votes in the first.
But yeah, he got killed off. Again, I hate that. I'm glad he's back. Shut up, all you stupid fanboys. Yes, a glass case in the friggin' Batcave is so much better than another potential character. Never mind. Okay. Moving on.
Small digression.
Tim Drake. Tim Drake was basically the fanboy. The Mary Sue fanboy-id character who they had... Turned out he had this deep connection to the Bats for a long time, and he figured it out on his own, who their identities were, and he loved them so much, and he just wants to help Batman, and... Then, oh, and because he took karate lessons this one time, he helped Batman in a mission.
I remember, I think I was talking to David Uzumeri, and there's some point when Dick Grayson and Tim Drake's parents just have dinner together. Like, they meet at the circus. And that was, like, the beginning of Tim Drake being super fascinated by the Flying Graysons.
No, it was this. Tim Drake's parents went into the circus. They want to show their kid, like, a fun time, and they're rich, so they bribe the headmaster to just let him go behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Tim Drake and Dick Grayson's parents meet, yeah, but just to say hello. And mm-hmm. Dick, like, picks Tim up and, like, gives him a hug and takes a picture with him. And it's like, hey, look, I'm going to do my signature trick, which is 3 somersaults in a row, mm-hmm. Just for you. So you watch tonight. And that's the night his parents get killed. But he does the trick, and then the parents get killed. And Tim sees Batman, like, come in and clean everything up and, like, take Dick away. And So he becomes obsessed.
Two together.
No, he becomes obsessed with Batman and Robin. Mm-hmm. Not so much, but he remembers that night because it was incredibly traumatic for like a 2 year old to watch two people die.
Yeah.
And then years later, like 7 or 8 years later, he sees Robin doing the same trick that Dick did, and that supposedly only Dick can do.
Yeah.
And he's like, I understand now. And then he just follows them around at night, every night, a 10-year-old with camera taking pictures of them.
And Batman they never notice. Never notices. Oh, man. Sometimes believing in comics is hard.
But, okay, then there was the early run where he was just... They really focused on his... Of his own series, sorry.
Yeah.
Where they just focused on his own problems of teenage life with a little superheroing added in, like, oh, my girlfriend is mad at me because I fell asleep during our date.
And it's because I was fighting Condiment King last night.
And, yeah. And now she dyed her hair blonde, but I don't really want to tell her that I don't like it blonde. So what am I going to do, Dick? Tell me. And just, and ah, now I'm getting shipped off to boarding school because my parents are angry that I, like, got caught with my girlfriend last night. And, yeah, just that kind of stuff. And then slowly it moved away from anything like teen life and into just, now my best friend died, now my dad died, now everyone else died.
Now my stepmom died 2 years after my mom died.
After she went crazy.
Yeah.
And became him getting more... Just focus more on the superhero stuff and more grim and...
Depressing.
Eventually, he moved out of the age where I guess they felt comfortable with him being Robin and they had that infamous story with Stephanie. And, like, honestly, this is what I kind of think happened. They decided, oh, gimmick, it's Girl Robin, mm-hmm. you know. And they had covers of Stephanie Brown being, like, Robin the Girl Wonder everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But people really liked it. And especially girls really liked it. They're like, yay, this is awesome. Oh, that's really horrible.
Yeah.
That's, like, an even worse death than Jason Todd. Well, let's go with equally. They're both awful, awful stuff. And I think this was this concurrent with Under the Hood, or?
It was
just before. Yeah, because Tim Drake was at that, after the Stephanie thing, he was so mad at Batman that he was like, I can't even be in the same town with you, I'm moving to Bloodhaven.
Which was where Nightwing was still hanging out and protecting.
Yeah. Anyway, so she died and people were upset like they always are when a character dies, but I think the she was never really Robin was them being realizing, wow, we could really have something, you know. Tim Drake's moving towards the end of his
tenure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we could really have something if we make the next Robin a girl, because it's a totally new thing. So I think what they were doing is like, crap, we already had the first girl wonder. You know, she was always already a hero. Let's just say she wasn't really Robin.
Yeah.
But it was kind of past the point where that would make anyone satisfied. And, yeah, there we have the story of Stephanie Brown as I see it. Who is now Robin. Or who was officially Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And is now Batgirl. Good enough.
I think next she'll be, you know, like, Batman. She can just flip-flop through bat identities.
I feel like if the Stephanie Brown thing hadn't happened, there would be maybe a chance that Damian would be a girl.
Really?
Yeah. I guess it wouldn't work with what Ra's voracious need for a grandson.
Yeah.
But
twin Robins, Damian and Dana.
But yeah, I don't know. That's how I think it kind of went. They were just like, it's the girl Robin. Damn, like, that would have been really popular if we could have made her permanent. If we could have made some girl permanently a female Robin.
Yeah.
Well.
But you forgot the first Girl Wonder and the best Robin. Carrie Kelly from Dark Knight Returns.
She's not officially in continuity. But, you know, I still think that Carrie Kelly would make an awesome Robin in a Batman movie.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the cartoon episode that was the Dark Knight Returns homage?
Yes, I did.
Like, I am so in love with that 10 minutes. And I think that, I don't know, I feel like I like her so much because she doesn't take any of Batman's crap. Like, they're clearly very close, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, his...
Well, you like the first version of her, right? The Catgirl on rollerblades?
I like that, too.
You're kidding me.
No, not at all. Because she was like...
Who beats people up because they make mistakes and was like, now you're on latrine duty?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Well, she didn't like beating them up. It was something that basically Batman told her to do because Batman's a jerk, you know? But I like that... She's kind of like this weird mix of Dick Grayson and, I guess, my mental image of Jason Todd, where he's like, you know, hey, Batman, blah, 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 sarcasm, you know. And that's kind of what she was, and I thought it was really effective.
I liked it in the first movie because she was kind of, or the first book, because she was a regular kid.
Yeah.
A smart, brave, you know, dedicated kid, but just a kid who was doing the best she could. And then it showed that that Batman really liked that.
Yeah.
And understood that she was just a regular kid and treated her accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Like,
this kid could be awesome and I like her and I want to keep her safe. And also I want to teach her how to do all this awesome stuff.
So that when I die in book four, there will be someone there to dig out of my grave. But yeah, so... After Stephanie, I guess it's just Damian as Robin, right?
It's Damian with the really horrible origin story.
Oh, yeah. Test tube baby.
As a result of drugged rape scene of Talia and Batman, and that is just wrong. That's wrong. Like, how did you not consider that? No, it wasn't like that in the book.
Or the Son of the Demon, Birth of Demon, one of those two.
Son of the Demon, where Batman's just like, okay, I'll join you. Since you're doing good stuff now.
Yeah.
And I'll totally get with your daughter in this room.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's still something unsaid there. Because Batman comes off, like, super bitter. In a really un-Batman sort of way. So I think when he's like, you know, you drugged me and it was a sick eugenics experiment, he's just like, yeah, I didn't really want to have a kid. But I don't know. I think I like Damian because he's basically just like a really mean version of Richie Rich. Like, he's owed everything, he has everything he wants, but he still wants more.
I think he adds a little spice to the story.
Yeah.
I like him better when he's getting humiliated, so.
See, I like him better when he's humiliating people. And
well,
what was it?
I like when he's humiliating them verbally.
Yeah.
But, not so much when he's like, I solved your jet propulsion system, and now I'm calling a meeting of the board because I can do everything better than you.
It's... The bit
he's,
when he's
still
like,
a 10-year-old.
But when he goes, like, maybe we should call this duo Robin and Batman instead.
You know? I like that, too.
Yeah. He's a very precocious 10-year-old who was raised by assassins. So it's okay if he's a terrible person. He'll get better. And in a way, that's basically exactly what Batman does all the time.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like that either.
Yeah. Like Batman versus the White Martians, where he's like, he figures out what their secret is, and he leaves a note that says, I know your secret, with a White Martian, you know, like, on fire. Like, Batman is kind of a douchebag.
What was their secret?
They
didn't like fire? No one does.
But that was their weakness. In the first arc of Morrison's
with JLA, someone on fire, they survived being lit on fire?
Well, it was a White Martian, so he was surrounded by fire, not lit, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And so it was like, superhumans come from space, the entire Earth is like, oh wow, these guys are great, you know, this hero looks like Jim Morrison, he's super hot. And the Justice League are like, come on, what is going on with these guys? And eventually, like, they fight, and the Justice League gets eliminated, but Batman manages to sneak away and sneaks into their base and takes one of them down with, like, a book of matches and then leaves him there for the rest of them to find. And a little note that says, I know your secret.
Shouldn't you be telling the entire Earth that?
Well, he was still inside the base. He had a lot of Martians to beat up first.
All right.
In which, if you haven't read that story, it's...
Doesn't everyone know that all Martians don't like fire? I mean,
Martians at that point.
Ah.
And Batman figures it out, and then, you know, eventually the rest of the Justice League work their way through. It's three issues, and it's really, really good. Superman is... he thinks he's being affected by kryptonite, and that's why he can't move. He can just hear things, and he realizes, wait, if I can still hear stuff, kryptonite's not working. And so he starts listening harder, and he realizes, like, his powers are still on. It's all mental. And then he goes, like, you guys are lying. You're Martians. And it just... things tick over very quickly once, like, the time for the fight comes.
Hey, do you know what I can do? Set things on fire with my eyes.
Exactly. Wonder Woman fights a white Martian in, like, the upper atmosphere. It's really... I'll have to let you borrow this, because it's one of my favorite Justice League stories. It's just pitch perfect. But yeah, so any sidekicks left? Who do we have? I think we went through all the Robins.
Well, we do have Silver Age Jason.
Oh,
who was
redhead.
Exactly Dick Grayson, only blonde, and his parents were murdered by Killer Croc in Florida.
Huh.
Exactly Dick Grayson.
Okay.
Gymnast, parents murdered by a Gotham criminal, adopted by Batman, kind of fey, dances around a lot.
Yeah.
He was just strawberry blonde. That's
like,
it.
Oh crap, we got rid of Dick Grayson. We had to bring him back.
And Grant Morrison did a little, and I thought, unnecessary nod to that, where he was like, Bruce always made me dye my hair because it was black. So I would look like Dick Grayson. So no one would know that he changed partners, despite his partner shrinking in size and getting a new costume.
Yeah. Batman.
Hmm.
But, all right, so I got no closing comments.
Go sidekicks.
Yeah. Only the good ones, though. I could do without, like, Tempest, Donna Troy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Wonder Woman. How are you going to derive a personality from that? Oh. Knight and Squire. Let's see what they do with that.
It's the guy who's drawn for the Unwritten, and I forget his name, but I haven't read the Unwritten, so I don't know what his art looks like, but I've got high hopes. Like, all of Cornell's interviews just sound like, I don't want to say wacky, because that's kind of like, you know, ha-ha, comics, whatever, but he's inventing 100 new villains just because, and essentially populating Great Britain's superhero population, like, single-handedly.
Works for me.
Yeah.
And we finally, with Squire, have an official most ridiculous costume in the world.
Why is that more ridiculous than the Bat costume?
She is wearing a pork pie hat.
She's British.
So? They wear hoodies now.
Oh, goodness.
Just watch their conservative talk shows.
Yeah, I'm a huge...
A pork pie hat. Striped tights. And a little vest, and then, like, what I can, like, the only word I can think of is bloomers?
Are they, like, hang on, I'm gonna Google image search Squire real quick, but aren't they, like, jodhpurs or whatever?
No. Jodhpurs are pants.
Yeah.
No, she wears, like, little shorts that go up to her, I guess, lower ribs. And then striped tights underneath them.
Wait, this looks way more simple. I guess this is her older costume that Ed McGuinness drew.
You're still the hat.
I like the hat.
I like the hat too. But it's the silliest costume.
The striped stockings
ever.
Are a bit much. Or leggings or whatever those are.
With a coat of arms on her chest and a little green vest. I mean,
but
and then a puffy
a
shirt. She is wearing a puffy shirt. I know.
It's England. Things are different over there. I learned everything I know about England from Monty Python. And it seems pretty accurate.
Yeah, if she were banging together a couple of coconuts, fine. But she's not. She's wearing striped tights and a pork pie hat.
And Big Ben in the background. Which is, wow. But all right, so thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
We will be back next week with something different.